We left off before Shavuos. We were talking about the different halachic innovations that took place specifically after the Churban Habayis. So we spoke about the institution of mitzvahs, which was Eichel HaMikdash, and some mitzvahs that we do have as Zman HaZeh, some mitzvahs that we don't have as Zman HaZeh. There are certain things that changed in light of the fact that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. In addition to the institution of certain mitzvahs, there was a whole new concept that developed after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed about different ways that we should commemorate the Beis HaMikdash in the sense of certain types of chumras and precious and different types of things that we should avoid partaking of as a way of commemorating the fact that we no longer have a Beis HaMikdash. So what I thought we would do is first speak about this week's shiur about the things that didn't quite succeed, namely those different types of hanhogas and things that started by some individuals that are Churban by Hashemi that in fact have not become normative halacha. It's important to understand that because we'll see how it does play out in terms of our world of halacha. Then maybe next week we'll speak a little bit about some of the things that we actually do practically in terms of issues of Zeichel HaChurban. So the sugya of Zeichel HaChurban really begins in the first of the Maimonides. The name of the topic is Devarim Shel Zeichel HaChurban Shelo Pashtu Berov Yisrael. It should be Shelo Pashtu. It's a mistake in the diktuk. So I don't know whose mistake that was, but otherwise it's a mistake in the diktuk. So comes the Gemara Baba Basra, Daf Samach Amud Beis, and it begins with a fascinating Braisa Tanya, Amar Bishmo Ben Elisha. Now just the Braisa is fascinating even by the fact that it's the first person who's speaking in the Braisa. Is Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. We know that Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was in fact the Kohen Gadol, was the last Kohen Gadol in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara has the famous story about him in Maseches Brachos, about how he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim in Yom Kippurim, and he had an image, he saw a vision of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu asked him to give him a bracha, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he gave a bracha to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so to speak, that he should have Rachmanos on his children. It was a famous, famous, beautiful Gemara. It became more famous, Abin Fried put it to music, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, but it's a very poignant Gemara. So this is just to give you a background as to who was the person who's speaking. Rabbi Shmuel, the last of the Kohanim Gadolim from Bai Sheni, I'm Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha. Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash, from the day that the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, Dinu Shenigzor Al Atzmeinu Shlo Lechol Basav Lelishtas Yayin, that the correct thing to do would be we should refrain from eating meat and we should refrain from drinking wine. I was going to elaborate upon why is that theoretically the correct thing to do. For mice, of course, we know that isn't what happened, but in theory, that's what we should have done. But the reason why we don't do this is because we are not allowed to institute a gzeir, we're not permitted to institute a rabbinic decree unless most of the tzibur is able to observe this decree. Now we spoke a lot about this in the previous year, earlier in the year, when we spoke about the authority of the chachamim to institute new halachas, and particularly the limitations of that authority. And one of the basic limitations of the Chachamim is that they have to always check and see whether the Olam is up to the Gezerah. And when it comes to a Din Min HaTorah, so we have to get ourselves up to the Din Min HaTorah. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu told us, keep Shabbos, and we can't say, well, most people can't keep Shabbos, so Shabbos goes away. Chalila. Obviously, when it comes to Din Min HaTorah, so Kadosh Baruch Hu created those Dinim, and we have to live up to them. When it comes to Dinim Derabbanan, so when the Beis Din originally institutes Dinim Derabbanan, they have to check that the people are up to keeping it. If the people are not up to keeping it, then they shouldn't have done it in the first place, and they're required to abolish the Gezerah. So comes the Gemara and says that when the Beis Din after Bai Sheni was trying to figure out an appropriate way to mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, in theory we should have instituted a takana not to eat meat and not to drink wine. But the Maisa, most people weren't able to do that. So therefore the Beis Din didn't go ahead and do that. Umiyom Shapashta Malchus HaRishon, and Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha continues, from the day that Malchus HaRishon here, of course, refers to Rome, when the Roman Empire spread its wings and basically is taking over Eretz Yisrael, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and Shegozeris Lehen Gozeris Ros Vakashos, not only did they destroy us physically, but they tried to destroy us spiritually as well, and they instituted so many different decrees, so many Gozeris against the observance of Torah Mitzvahs. Tell us about Torah Mitzvahs. They're not allowing us to learn Torah properly. Of course, we know that Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha ultimately lost his life as one of the Asar Rugei Malchus and many of his famous colleagues who were killed by the Romans for observing Torah Mitzvahs publicly. And similarly, the Eima Nechaz Osanali Kadosh Shavu HaBein, and they're not permitting us to bring our children into Shavu HaBein. Shavu HaBein is the term Chazal used for Bris Milam. It's at the end of the week, so the baby gets a Bris. The Amulah Yeshua HaBein, and there are some say that the Yeshua HaBein, Yeshua HaBein refers to Pidgin. Yeshua and Pidgin, in other words, go hand in hand. So some say that they won't let the Jews do in the mitzvah Pidgin HaBein. There are some who suggest that this phrase is not even referring to Bris Milah, it's not referring to Pidgin HaBein, it's referring to Shalom Zohar, that this is the only possible source in Chazal for the practice of a Shalom Zachar. We know that the celebration of Shalom Zachar is based on the Pasuk Vehimlita Zachar. The Pasuk says that there's such a great celebration when the boy is born. So some say that's what it's referred to. That was a Chazal we're alluding to. So whatever it is, Dinu Shenigzol Atzmeinu, from the moment that the Romans weren't letting us observe the mitzvahs without children properly, they weren't letting us do bris milas, weren't letting us do pidyon bens, maybe weren't letting us have Shalom Zachar, whatever was the Jewish ritual was not being observed. So comes Rabbi Shalom and Elishan says, it would be better, we should stop getting married, stop having children. Because if we can't raise our children with bris milah, we can't raise them as Jewish children, so maybe it's better not to have children altogether. The nimtza zara shalom avinu kolam e'elof. And that way the descendants of Avraham Avinu will just disappear. Because basically the Jewish people will come to an end. So comes Rabbi Shmuel ben Elishan says, but lamais we don't do that. Baruch Hashem, who would be here today? They would have done that. So no, Elahanach lam Yisrael, mutar shishoygin v'ayu mezidin. So comes Rabbi Shmuel ben Elishan says that even though in theory that would have been an approach, but leave Klai so alone. Let them do what they have to do. Let them get married. Let them have children and shoyin. And that phrase, Hanach lam Yisrael, shishoygin v'ayu mezidin, is usually used in a negative sense. Usually used when somebody's doing an aveira, and we'd rather you do an aveira b'shoygin than amazed. It's a very startling phrase that's used in this context. So the bottom line is the theme of this braisa is the fact that in theory we could have conceived of instituting some very harsh gezeiros if the Bayi Sheni, that we would have insisted that nobody should eat, nobody should drink wine, people shouldn't get married, shouldn't have children, it would be basically the end of Klal Yisrael. In theory that approach could have been taken, and again Baruch Hashem that approach was not taken, and of course we still exist today. So Tosfos has a comment on the sugya, a very longish comment. This is always like depends on what take a person has towards learning some of these Mamari Chazal. Sometimes when a person reads some of these Mamari Chazal, so they're either very inspiring, make you very sad, make you very inspirational, whatever the case may be. Some people look at certain Mamari Chazal through a very, very emotional lens, and other people look at them through a very rational, logical, lumdish lens. So the Balei HaTosfos are very lumdish, they're very rational. They looked at the Gemara and said, what? What was Rabbi Shmuel ben Elishan even thinking? It sounds from the Gemara that in theory they could have made such a gezeira. They could have told us to stop eating meat and drinking wine. They could have told us to stop getting married and having children. So Tais says, really? They could have told us that? They really would have had the ability to do that? Again, this is a pure theoretical discussion. In the end, they didn't. In the end, we still do get married. We still do try to have children. But in theory, it appears from the Gemara, in the pure world of Lomdus, that they could have made such a gezeira, that it was within the realm of the authority of the Beis Din to institute at the time of Churban Bayis Sheni that nobody should get married. So Tosfos says, what? Dinu shenigzol atzmeinu shalisa noshim, teva, haksir peruvu? So comes Tosfos and says, what are you talking about? What was Rabbi Shmuel ben Elishan even thinking? How can he even suggest that there was a possibility in Lomdus that you can tell people not to have any children? The Pasuk in Chumash. The Pasuk says, peruvu, it's a mitzvah to have children. So v'shem al osan shikvakibu privrivya ka'amar. So comes Tosfos and says that maybe what it means is as follows. Not that they would have told us not to get married, not to have children altogether. That's not even within their authority. What it means is that anyone who already fulfilled privrivya, and we know the Gemara says, Maseches Yevamos, there are different opinions as to how many children are necessary to fulfill the mitzvah peruvu. So we pass it like Beis Hillel, that the mitzvah is one boy and one girl. That's the bare minimum mitzvah. One is supposed to try to have more children. The Gemara says that the more children one has, that's a greater enhancement of the mitzvah. But the ika mitzvah is having one boy and one girl. So comes the Tosfos and says that the Tanaim could have potentially prohibited. Some could have, if they wanted to, have made a gezeira and said, Adkan, we shouldn't bring unnecessary children to the world. One boy, one girl. What can you do? The Torah says to have children, so nebuch, we have to do the mitzvah, so to speak. More than that, we could have conceived of not having to do. The only problem is it doesn't seem to fit into the Lashon HaGemara. The Gemara says that in theory they could have told people not to get married, not to have children, and that would have led to the destruction, to the ultimate destruction of the Zera of Avraham Avinu. How would that have destroyed the Zera of Avraham Avinu? People would still be having some children, still be having a boy and a girl. So the answer is, it wouldn't have been enough. But the birth rate would have been very, very low. If you have a very, very low birth rate, so eventually that's been the whole people in the Chalila die out. So Tosfos was so bothered with this kasha. Tosfos couldn't conceive of the possibility that any Beis Din under the sun would tell people not to fulfill peruvu. That would not be within their realm of authority. So Tosfos had to revamp the Gemara. The Gemara never really meant to abolish peruvu. That was unthinkable. The Gemara just meant to potentially tell people not to have extra children. So Adkan Divya Tosfos. So the Tosfos is a difficult Tosfos. Again, we're not looking at this from the emotional point of view right now. From the pure halachic, logical point of view, the Tosfos is very difficult to understand. In light of some of the discussions that we've had earlier on in the year, remember back at the beginning of the year, we spoke about what possible limitations Chazal have in terms of open davar min haTorah. When can the Chachamim make a din derabanan that goes against the din of the Torah itself? So we said that the Chachamim have no right to tell you to violate an avera. Let's say the Torah says you're not allowed to drive in Shabbos. The Torah says, well, Savar Esh B'Chomash Rosetim, you're not allowed to light a fire in Shabbos. So we know when you get into a car, you drive a car, so you're causing a fire, you're causing the gas to burn. So there's no question that driving a car is an Issa D'Oraisa in Shabbos. So imagine the Beis Din would get up and say, we think that it's necessary for you to drive in Shabbos. We're going to make a takona to be mafia to drive in Shabbos. So the din is, you're not allowed to listen to them. They have no authority to make such a takona. So even if they may have the noblest intentions, even we too that would be true, but even if it would be the Sanhedrin, the Beis Din HaGadol, the greatest Beis Din, Moshe Rabbeinu himself, you're still not allowed to listen to him, because Ein Beis Din Yichol Lapa Dov Min HaTorah B'Kum V'Aseh. But what can the Beis Din do? Let's say the Beis Din tells you, we think that it's a very good idea not to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shacharis B'Shabbos. So in a certain sense, they're also going against the Torah. The Torah says Yom Tro Yomachem, and Min HaTorah, we assume that means Bein B'Chol Bein B'Shabbos. So how dare the Beis Din HaGadol tell us not to blow shofar on Shabbos? So the Gemara Yevamah says, no, that's different. That the Beis Din HaGadol does have the authority to be Ofi Adav Min HaTorah if it's B'Sheva Al Tasa. As long as they're not telling you to actively do an Avera, they're telling you to sit back passively, not to do something. That they have the koach to do. How do you know they have the right to do that? So that's not clear in the Gemara how Chazal figured that out. There's must be a pasuk, a mocher, or some kind of a mocher for that din. So that's clear in the Gemara in Yevamah Safetes, that the Beis Din under no circumstances can ever tell you to violate an Isser in the Torah. What they can do is they can tell you not to fulfill the mitzvah of the Torah. And the Gemara says they did it on many, many occasions. On first day of Rosh Hashanah, Shavuos, B'Shabbos, the first day of Sukkot on Shabbos, the Torah says you shake a lulav, and the Chum said not to shake a lulav. We don't, the chutzpah is we don't put on tefillin on Yantav Sheni Shagolios, even though Min HaTorah you should have to put on tefillin, but mid the Rabbanim we don't, so the Rashba writes in the Tshuva, because Yesh Koch B'Yachachom Lachadav Min HaTorah B'Sheva Taza. So we invoke this principle all the time. So based on this principle, L'Chayr, we don't understand Taisus. Taisus says, how could it be that the Beis Din would tell us not to have children? It's against the Pasuk B'Chumash. So, Asma. So it's against the Pasuk B'Chumash. So is shaking a lulav against the Pasuk B'Chumash. So is blowing shofar against the Pasuk B'Chumash.
Yeah, but Taisus is going, because the Gemara goes later on and talks about that if you do ask the Pasuk B'Yayin, you end up asking water also.
No, that's the next one.
You'll have a ridiculous outcome.
No.
It's the same thing over here
with
Puruvu. You'll have a ridiculous outcome.
No, Tosfos is asking a logical question. Tosfos is saying, Haksir Puruvu. It says Puruvu, so what right can you even think about something? The Gemara is talking about the ridiculous outcomes later. That we're going to get to in the next part of the sugya. But Tosfos is asking from a pure logical point of view, what authority does the Beis Din have to tell you not to have any children? So Tosfos gets stuck and said, I mean, they don't have the koach to tell you not to have children. That would be against a mitzvah in the Torah. So I'll be asking, wait a second, why did Tosfos consider it to be so inconceivable in that Torah? It's impossible for Beis Din to tell you not to have children. They tell you not to blow shofar on Shabbos. They tell you not to shake a lulav on Shabbos. So why can't they tell you not to have any children? Why was Tosfos so bothered? So the Chora, what Tosfos bothered was as follows. Also a principle that we spoke about earlier in the year, that's the sheet of the Taz. The Taz has a chiddush that even though the Chachamim have the authority to tell you not to do a mitzvah, if it's B'Sheva Al Taseh, that's only if they don't uproot the mitzvah entirely from the Torah. The Taz gives us a marshal. He says, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, so the Chachamim have the authority to tell you not to blow shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos. But how come the Chachamim didn't prohibit blowing shofar every Rosh Hashanah? We know that mid the Rabbanan, you're never allowed to play instruments on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to play the piano, play the drums, not do anything on Yom Tov related to instruments. We're afraid you may come to fix the instrument. So the Chachamim should have asked all of Tkiyah Shayf and every Rosh Hashanah. That's the Akasha and Tazir. Already, the Chachamim before me asked the Akasha. How come the Chachamim didn't uproot the entire mitzvah of Tkiyah Shofar as a Gezeira with the Rabban and Shem Yisach and Kleshia? So the Taz answer is because they have no authority to do that. Because the Torah says to blow shofar Rosh Hashanah. So if the Chachamim tell you not to blow shofar every 4, 5, 6 years when it falls out on Shabbos, that's not Akira's Dovah in the Torah. That's not abolishing a mitzvah in the Torah. That's telling you every couple of years don't blow shofar. Well, let's say the Chacham have no right to tell you never to put on tefillin. They have a right to tell you 3-4 days during the year and Yantav Sheni's don't put on tefillin. That they have a kach to do. But for them to take a mitzvah of the Torah and take an eraser and cross it out, even if it's b'shev al tasa, that they have no power to do. So if that taz is correct, then Toysa's kasha makes a lot of sense. Toysa says, Zolzayin, the niyach that they have the ability to tell you not to put on tefillin, not to shekeluluv, not to blow shofar, but to tell you not to do peravu, that means they're telling every single Jew in the world never ever perform peravu, they're taking peravu and cutting it out of the Sefer Torah. That they have no koach to do. That's what Taisa said, revamp the Gemara. Say the Gemara doesn't mean really not to have children. The Gemara just means not to have too many children. In the end, that was rejected. In the end, Baruch Hashem, that gezeira was never made. But in theory, there could have been such a gezeira. So here again, we have to learn the sugya. Even if it was, it never became normative halacha. This was never put into practice. For my son, no gezeira was ever made. Alpha became. We have to understand just what the rationale was, what the possibilities or the parameters of such a possible gezeira were. Is there any remnant of this quote unquote gezeira that was never made? The gezeira that in theory was discussed 2,000 years ago and never made it into the book. Is there any remnant, any application of this b'sman hazeh? So there is a Ramah in the third of the Mamakamos, a Ramah in Evan HaEzer, in the beginning of the Halachas of Pirei Verivian, Siman Aleph Sif Gimel, where the Ramah is discussing the comment of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch speaks about at what age do you say a person must get married, to the point where he so must get married that if he doesn't, we're going to force him. We're going to convince him to get married in a very strong way. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam, based on the Gemara's Maseches Kedushin, that there are different ages as to when the mitzvah of getting married begins. So the Mishnah speaks about in Shmona Esrei L'Chuppah. So the Rambam actually holds that means when you, on your 18th birthday, which really means that you're, it doesn't mean what we call the 18th birthday, it really means the 17th birthday. It really means when you start your 18th year. But most people usually assume it means in the 18th birthday. So that's what you get, 1 year. Whether it means a senior in high school or your first year in YU. But whatever it is, the Mishnah speaks about Ben Shemana Esrei, Neshmana Esrei L'Chuppah. So the Rambam comments on the Gemara Maseches Kedushin that although there's a mitzvah ready to get married at that age, but it doesn't mean that you're absolutely mechuyev to. You have a little bit of time before you become a real mevatlas a mitzvah. How much time do you have? So the Rambam writes, you have till you're 20. That's what the Lashon Gemara Kedushin is. Until 20, you're not considered to be mevatlas a mitzvah. After 20, then you're a mevatlas a mitzvah, unless you're a secret Talmud Torah. If a person is involved in Talmud Torah, so then he has a certain patur for a little bit of time in terms of the mitzvah of getting married and having children. Well, let's say it's honest. He can't find the right person to marry. It's honest. Like one apatre. What do you want? He's trying to do a mitzvah. He's trying. He's not succeeding. But for a person to take the attitude that he's X years old, that he's not necessarily sitting and learning too much, and he's just dilly-dallying and performing the mitzvah of getting married and having children, that's considered to be a bitla mitzvah. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes that we have a rule called kaifed al mitzvah, that if a person doesn't want to do a mitzvah, so we're supposed to compel him to do the mitzvah. Now obviously, b'zman hazeh, our ability to force somebody to do a mitzvah is very, very limited, but in theory, there's a principle called bezin kaifed osel, that if a person doesn't want to put on tefillin, doesn't want to eat in the sukkah, doesn't want to eat matzah, so we have the authority and we have the obligation to be kaifed osel. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes a bit of kfiyah when it comes to a period of rivia as well. So the Ramah writes in that Shulchan Aruch, b'zman hazeh, no b'shul locha falzeh. That b'zman hazeh, our custom is that we don't force people if they don't want to get married. We can encourage them, we can speak to them, but in terms of knocking them over the head, so the Ramah says that we don't do that anymore. And even more than that, not only in the case where the person doesn't do anything, he's sitting around and not getting married, do we not cope with his manazet? But let's say the person actively does something that's going to prevent him from doing Pirva Rivya. What does he do? He has not yet had any children, and he goes and he gets married to a woman who can't have children. To go to Kara, who's a Kevaktani, marries somebody who either is a woman who cannot have children, she's a barren woman, or she's a Kana, she's too old to have children, or she's a Katana, she's very young, maybe someday she'll have children, but right now, he's clearly not going to have any children with her. Mishum Shechoshik Ba, O Mishum Mabon Shalom. So the Ramah is very practical, telling you what's going on. So it's either because he wants to marry her, or because there are monetary considerations. So the Ramah says that what he's doing is really wrong. It's wrong on many, many different levels, but it's wrong in the realm of Peruvian. He's the first bits from the Torah called Peruvian. Even though Me'ikir Adin, you really should have been Mocha. The person is not doing a mitzvah. And it's worse than the first case. In the first case, he's just sitting around not doing anything. Okay, maybe he'll come around and get married soon. In the second case, he's marrying someone who will not have any children. And we have a Chayim Ben Yeshem, so he's not even going to be able to marry somebody else anyway. So he's mamish setting up a situation where he's never going to have any children. That's a terrible thing. So we should stop him. We should not just give him a Musa Shmuz. We should really, really come down hard on him. So the Ramah says, no, we don't come down too hard on him. Why? Not because Piruv Ruv is not an important mitzvah. It's a very important mitzvah. I tell the Bacham in Yeshiva sometimes when I think that they're dilly-dallying, so I speak to them and I say, you know, if I could have thought Piruv Ruv wasn't such an important mitzvah, he would have stuck it somewhere in the middle of a Yikma where no one would catch on to it. He put it as the first one. So it's the opening one. You can't miss it. It's hard to miss it. It's number one. So the Ramah is not saying that Piruv Ruv is not an important mitzvah. What the Ramah is saying is that for other reasons, lo nozum become a deris to the doctrine of eating as Yehugim. We have a custom already for many generations that we don't force people in the realm of marriage. Another example that Ramah says that we also don't get involved, we don't force a person to fulfill Peruvu. The Mishnah Maseches Yevamah speaks about if a person is married for 10 years and doesn't have any children, so Me'ikra Din, that the couple is supposed to get divorced. So comes the Ramah and says, we don't force people to do that. He doesn't want to get divorced, we're not going to force them to get divorced. Alright, but he's not fulfilling Peruvu. And in all other areas of marriage, a person is getting married to someone who we probably shouldn't be marrying, we're not going to force him. Assuming that she's smuteris to him, which that person a kohen wants to marry a grusha, so then if we have the ability, you better believe we're going to force. The person wants to marry someone who is not allowed to marry a pidin, that for sure we will still get involved if we have the ability to do so. But in the realm of just the mitzvah for Rivia, so we're not going to get involved. The question is, why not? Where did that come from? We don't get involved to, in a sense, force people if we have the ability to do so. So some suggest, I mean, the Rishon really write that this is a throwback to the Gemara in Maseches Bava Basra. That the Gemara in Bava Basra said that in theory, after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, it would have been an advisable practice for nobody to get married. Everyone should remain single, no one should have any children, and Nimtza Zara Shal Yisrael Kol Me'elah. So in theory, they could have done that. L'maisa Chazal said not to do it. But in theory, it wasn't such a crazy idea. So come some Rishonim and say, you have a guy who says, listen, I hold like the Assyri Pshat. I hold like the Prushim. I hold like the people wanted to do it after Baishen. The guy holds. The guy's a joker when he holds. He's doing down. He's not getting married because he's not getting married. But nope. Kimli, I hold like that Shita, that it's better not to get married. So comes there and says, listen, you know, we can give him a Musa Shmuz. We'll tell him we don't pass like that. The Beis never made such a takwan. It was only a wildest in the wildest dreams of Havaminas. But Sof Kol Sof says the Ramah, we can talk to him very harshly, but we can't force him. Because you can only force somebody to do something if he has nothing to stand on. A guy tells you, I don't want to put on film today. So he has nobody to rely on. He's holding like who? Oh, what sheet? Who says you don't have to put on film? Who says you don't have to do a shekel lulav? Who says you don't have to eat matzah? That's a mitzvah. Everybody agrees to. So whenever you have a mitzvah, that's a mitzvah to kuli alma. A person has no right not to do it. And the Beis Din has the authority, it has the power, they will force him. But Pir Beriviv is manazah. Is a funny mitzvah. It's a kind of a mitzvah that in theory you could say, I hold like that sheet that says that you shouldn't get married after the Chorban. So if that's the pshat, if that's what the sheet is based on, this would be against Taisus. Because Taisus said, even in their wildest dreams, they didn't want to tell people not to have children. The wildest havamina was to tell people not to have more than two children, not to have more than a boy and a girl. But nobody ever said not to have any children. That wasn't even on the radar screen, because that would be an Akiva's Dovrin Torah Legamre. So if the Ramal is quoting from the Mordechai is really based on those prushim, is based on that shita that never became part of Norman of Halacha, if it's based on that, then that's a different version than Taisus. That's like how many different versions of Taisus? Taisus would have never ever bought for such an idea. So adoption, not in the full sense of the word, in the partial sense of the word, the Gemara says that if a person is begadel, child, the Sof Beiso, it's ki'ilu yalado. The Gemara comments on Moshe the Aaron, that Moshe taught Aaron's son's Torah, so it's ki'ilu yalado. So the post can write that when a person adopts a child and they raise him, they teach him Torah, so it's ki'ilu yalado. So it's as if they gave birth to him, but in terms of the absolute, real mitzvah, pure rivia, so that wouldn't necessarily be a fulfillment.
I'm so much of that, you can't punish me.
I don't know. I'm not sure. So this idea of these strange practices that Lamaisa we don't practice today, so the Gemara elaborates upon this in the fourth of the Ramakamas. The Gemara in the first of the Ramakamas, the Gemara only tells half the story. Now the Gemara in the fourth tells the whole background. So Tanur Rabbanan, also in that same daf, Tanur Rabbanan, Kishachar V'Bayis B'Shniyu, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed the second time around, Rabu Prushin B'Yisrael, so there were actually people who followed these practices, Shalol Lechol Basof Shalol Lishtas Yayin. They refused, they stopped eating meat, they stopped drinking wine. Nifal Ed Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua went to talk to them. Rabbi Yeshua was one of the Tamidim, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So you know, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Rav at the time of the Churban. He's the one who asked for Yavne. So his Tamidim were very much involved in that early generation, right after the Churban. So Rabbi Yeshua said to them, Omelan, Bona, he said, my children, even the way Rabbi Yeshua approached them, you can see he was in a very endearing Lashon. He says, Bona, you know, what's going on? Why are you not eating meat and drinking wine? Omelo, so they said to him, how can we bring ourselves to eat meat when they used to bring meat on the Mizbeach and now Nebuch says nobody said Mikdash, would be inappropriate for us to eat meat. They said, well, you want us to drink wine? They used to bring wine in the Mizbeach and now there's nobody said Mikdash, no Mizbeach, so we should drink wine, it can't be. So Rabbi Yechman Zachai said to them, Im Kain, Lechem Lo Noichel. He says, you're right, we should all stop eating bread. Shekva batlu menachas. There are no covered menachas anymore. The menachas are flour offerings. You can't bring a covered mincha, but right, you have to eat bread. So, tatarat, efshir peiros. So I said, okay, we'll stop eating bread. We'll just eat fruit. So, peiros lo noichel. Shekva bitlu bikurim. So, Rabbi Yeshua said to them, but you should stop eating fruit because you no longer bring bikurim. So, efshir pesachem. They said, well, we won't eat from the Shivas Aminim. You can only bring bikurim from the Shivas Aminim. We'll eat apples and oranges. We'll stay away from the dates and the pomegranates. So he seemed to have had, they seem to have had the upper hand. So they said, yeah, we're gonna stop eating meat and stop drinking wine and stop eating bread and stop eating Shiva Saminim. It's gonna be a very difficult life. We can do it. So then he said to them, Mayim Lanishna, he says, oh, we should stop drinking water. Because you can't bring water in the Mizbech and Sukkis. So how can you drink water? So Shasku. So they were quiet. So they realized that he had the upper hand on them. So Amalan, so he said to them, Bonai. He said, my children, come to me and I'll explain to you what to do. Shalolis abel kol ikar iefshar. Not to mourn for the Beis HaMikdash altogether, that's inappropriate. Shvanigzer gezeira means it was already destroyed. We know that we have to be misabel for the Beis HaMikdash. But lisabel yosmuda iefshar. But you can't be misabel too much. Sh'ein gezeira gezeira tira kem rov tzinchom lamagos, we spoke about before, and the Gemara quotes Pasuk to that idea, that we have no right to make such gezeiras. So Rabbi Yeshua didn't tell him yet what to do. That's next week's year. But up until now, Rabbi Yeshua just told them what not to do. He said it's inappropriate just to refrain from Basav Yayin, because if you go that route, then you can end up with the absurd that you can't have water, which of course is something which is not practical. So is there anything left of that practice? The same way we mentioned before, that the practice of the theoretical practice of not having children, not having too many children, did make it a little bit into halacha, maybe made into a ramah, that this practice of not eating meat and not drinking wine have any shaykhus to halacha for us. Obviously we don't practice it really, we all have meat, we have wine, so we don't follow this practice. Rabbi Yeshua dissuaded them for what they were doing, but there is a little bit something that's left of it, and that's what's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch in the fifth of the Ramah Kamos. In our Chaim, it's been talked with an analysis test. Yesh nogim shlol lechol basav v'shlol lishtos yayin v'shabezu. There are some who have a practice not to eat meat and not to drink wine during the week of Tisha B'Av. But the Mishnah calls Shavuot Shechal B'Tisha B'Av. We know that the Mishnah already tells us in the end of Masechet Tainis that there are certain halachas that apply during Shavuot Shechal B'Tisha B'Av. You're not allowed to also l'saf l'chabes, not allowed to get a haircut, not allowed to wash clothing during the week of Tisha B'Av. So midin the Gemara, there's a concept of the week of Tisha B'Av, but it's very, very limited in what's also. So there is somewhat a practice of not having meat and not drinking wine during this week. The Yeshim of Sifin, there are some who add on Rosh Chodesh and Atainis. There are some who added on that not only during the week of Tisha B'Av, but even from Rosh Chodesh itself. The Yeshim of Sifin, Mijayim, B'Tamuz. And there are those who went even further back, all the way back from Shavuos and B'Tamuz, all the way back for the entire 3 weeks. So we have three different customs quoted in the Shulchan Aruch about when to refrain from Basav Yayin. One opinion is that it's just the Shavuos Shechal B'Tisha B'Av. The other opinion is from the Rosh Chodesh Av. The third opinion is from Shavuos and B'Tamuz. Because we know our minhag is, the standard Ashkenazi minhag is the middle ground, but we refrain from Basav Yayin from Rosh Chodesh Av. The question is, where in the world does this minhag come from? What is this based on? Not that Basav Yayin. So one could suggest that maybe it's just an essential sense, just a bitul simcha, that we don't want to be too much besimcha at this stage, this time of the year, so therefore we refrain from basa v'yayin. It's hard to understand that, because we know that a real avil is permitted to have basa v'yayin. When a person is an oinein, after a relative dies before the kavur, they're not allowed to have basa v'yayin. That's for a different reason, because we don't want them to get too bogged down a big fancy meal, and they can forget to deal with the kavura. But in terms of once the avilus begins, during the week of Shiva, there's mutl l'chadchila for an avil to have basa v'yayin. So it's hard to understand if most of the practices that we do on the 9 days, the 3 weeks, Tisha B'Av are mimicking of Avelos, so where did this Isra Bas of the Yayin fit in? So I understand not to do laundry, not to get haircuts, that kind of stuff I understand. But where did the Bas of the Yayin enter into the picture? So it would appear from some of the Rishonim that the Bas of the Yayin is a different story. That the Bas of the Yayin is not really Avelos per se, the Bas of the Yayin is really a throwback to this Gemara Book of Basra. The Gemara says that we really should have always refrain from basa v'yayin. The entire year we should refrain from basa v'yayin, except as ein goes in gzeila tzivui. It's too tough, too hard for people to do. Oh, so b'medrabim, it's too hard for the entire year, but for a little bit of time, for the week of Tisha B'Av, for 9 days, 3 weeks, that's possible. That would even explain where the minig of starting from Shavuos of the Talmud comes from. Rishonim explain where did that minig that we don't practice, not our practice, but where did that custom come from to start already from Shavuos of the Talmud? Because Shavuos of the Talmud was Basla Kavod. That's when the last Kavod Talmud was brought. So that would be the appropriate day to commemorate the fact that the Kabbalists are no longer being brought. So Shavuos of the Talmud would be the perfect day to stop having Basla V'yayin. Again, maybe we hold that's too much. It's a tough gezeira. It's hard enough to keep it for 9 days. So limit how many siyums you can have for the whole 3 weeks. So minig is we only keep for the 9 days. But the ikaron, conceptually, the minig of refraining the whole 3 weeks really makes a lot of sense, because it's a throwback to this Gemara in Baba Basra. That's what everybody really should have done. There is a detail in terms of Baba Basra that may be important for us Lamais as well. If we're correct in what we're saying, that our minig of refraining from Basra V'yayin is a throwback to what the practice was until Rabbi Shua abolished it, so that may be relevant for us in the following sense. So Tosfos and that Gemara is born with the kasha. Tosfos says, Mayim lo nishta. So for Im Tomer, Amay lo ahadru, why did the people in that generation, why were they refuted by Rabbi Yeshua's taina, stop drinking water? They should have said, the Eshav may bayur as the psul and the sukh, the mashav the sukha. Not all water is kosher for Nisa Chamayim. In fact, there's machlokes of Rishonim about that. But at least according to some opinions, water that's coming from collected water in a pit, rainwater in a pit, like mikvah water, that's technically not acceptable for Nisa Chamayim. According to some opinions, Nisa Chamayim has to be spring water. Shafta Mayim, Besosi, Mayim, Yeshua, Tetzim, Mayim, Mayonos. So Taisa says, why did the people respond to Yeshua that we were not going to drink water that's kosher for Nisa Chamayim, we're only going to drink the water that's possible for Nisa Chamayim? Why did they say that? So the only read the David Abim Min Shosim Anisa Chashkim Al David Atzmo. So the read says, man, it's hard to make such chilukim to say that they're going to have a practice of not drinking water, not drinking spring water, but they can drink not spring water. That doesn't make any sense. That would have been a very, very strange practice. If Lashitosam, if you're really going to commemorate the destruction of Nisa Chamayim, then you got to go the whole 9 yards. You have to stop drinking all kind of water. And Tosfos proves this. The Ilav Achi Tiksha the Yishtu Yayin Mefushul the Pasul of the Sachem. So Abba Zoya, what they should have done is, even at a time when they stopped drinking wine, why did they stop drinking all wine? They should have only stopped drinking the wine that could have been brought in the Mizbech. Yayin Mefushul, Yayin that was already cooked, or our wine, pasteurized, whatever you want to call it. Yayin Mevushal is not acceptable for a carbon, the Gemara says. So if Yayin Mevushal can't be brought as a carbon, so then they should have permitted to drink that kind of wine. So why didn't they? The answer is it's all the same thing. You can't start drawing distinctions. When it comes to different kinds of fruit, so they'll stop eating grapes and pomegranates, but they'll still eat apples and orange. That's already a different thing. There's Shivas Haminim and there's not Shivas Haminim. But to say that we're going to stop drinking some water and yes, drink other water, we're going to stop drinking some wine and not another wine, that doesn't make any sense. So Lefishi Tosam, that they have to stop drinking wine, they would have had to stop drinking all wine. So why do we care, Lefishi Tosam? That practice hasn't been practiced for almost 2,000 years. The answer is no, it makes sense for us. Because we said that our minig of not having basa v'yayin during the 9 days is a throwback to that Gemara. So the question becomes, well, what kind of wine is included? Maybe you could argue, if it's yayin mevushal, it should be okay. That would be a great kula. If that would be true, then we could have all kind of wine. As long as we don't have a yayin that's not mevushal. Most of the wine is mevushal anyway. We could drink grape juice, wine, everything, whatever we want we can have, because it's not rightly burned as a carbon anyway. Well, for that matter, meat. We could have chicken, we could have meat that can't be brought as a carbon anyway. So the Teretz says that once there was a gezeira in the olden days, once there's a minute of Bizman is there, to say boser is off limits, so then you can't start splitting hairs what kind of boser. All boser is included in the minute. Once Chazal, at one time, either asked the yayin or Bizman is there, we asked it, but there's minug. Once yayin is off limits, then anything that's called wine is off limits. Doesn't matter. Yayin, mabush, nabush, those are details. So even though, again, this Gemara of Basel of Samach in the end does not apply to Halacha, nobody follows this practice of Halacha, nobody refrains from Basel of Yayin all year long in deference to that, but Afa B'chein, we do follow it, if it makes us, we follow at least 29 days, but our practice is not going to be any different than the way the practice was in the old days. So again, there were two different potential gezeiras that could have made life very, very different looking for us. One would have been not to get married and not to have children, or at least in the limited sense, where Tosis presented it. The other was not to have boss of the yayin. So even though in theory those ideas made sense, the Chazal could have pulled them off if they would have wanted to, but Lamaisa they didn't. So between Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha and Rabbi Yeshua, basically all these ideas got rejected. That's why we're left with the fact that we don't observe these as real Zechel Bikdushas. We have a little bit of Shiraim of it in Evan Ezra, a little Shiraim in the Halachas leading up to Tisha B'Av, but in terms of normative practice, the way we practice the mitzvahs, so these ideas were basically rejected. So what do we do instead? So that's what we left off with the three dots. But the Gemara says that, what are we supposed to do? So that's the next part of the Gemara Masechet Baba. Hopefully next week, will be a basic mikdash, so we'll be totally not relevant. But in case we have to learn the end of the sugya, so next week, we'll try to discuss those gezeiras that actually were made by Chazal. We spent time on the gezeiras that were rejected, we have to at least spend equal time on the gezeiras that actually were accepted, which have become part of our normal practice of Halacha B'Zman. Music and those kinds of things. Yeah, a few other things.